again, and welcome to another episode of BitNote. This is David Collins, and we'll be talking about games and game music, including some great music from Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater. Have a listen and hope you enjoy. Hello again, and welcome to another episode of BitNote. I'd like to propose a scenario. Have you ever wondered, when you were watching the sunset, about, you know, what it meant, if you could catch up with it? I mean, I think we all know that the Earth is round by this stage. I mean, you know, most of us anyway. And that when we see the sun setting, it's not so much the sun is going down, it's more the Earth is rotating us away from the sun. But you ever wondered, like, what would happen if you got, like, into a car or a really fast jet and suddenly aimed it straight towards that setting sun and opened up the throttle at full blast and blasted off across towards that sun as fast as you possibly could? Well, if you think it through, then you'd think it would be awesome, because that means that the faster you went, then you'd be getting closer and closer to the sun. Not only prolong the sunset, making the sunset last for such a long time, but you could also reverse it, have the sunset stop, reverse it, and suddenly have the sun rise back into the sky as you race faster and faster towards it. Well, my friends, that exact concept has actually been made into a game called Race the Sun. Before I get into it in a little more detail, how about I play the first track from that game? It is a rather frantic game where basically you are in a solar-powered craft. So if that sun goes down on you, then you know it's game over. Because, of course, without the sun, you know, you don't have any power, you can't keep going forward. The game doesn't seem to cover what would happen if you waited 24 hours and the sun rose again. I assume you'd die of exposure or something, just because that would make sense. But because you're in a desolate landscape, of course. But regardless of that, have a listen to the first track and I'll talk a bit more about it.
Thank you.
what you just heard there was One More Time by Forest San Filippo from Race the Sun by Flipify. As I've said, Race the Sun is, as I've said, you're flying across a sort of a desert landscape. The sun is ahead of you. You've got a solar powered jet thing that goes really, really, really fast. And you're just trying to make sure that you stop the sun from rising by blasting towards it as fast as you can. You have some slight degree of problems because there's a gigantic terrain in front of you. In fact, there's a couple of mountains, there are a couple of obstacles, there are some helpful ramps, admittedly, but also as you go further and further, you realise that sort of a lot of things start happening. Blocks start falling over, things start crashing in front of your way, and sometimes it seems like a blank wall when something opens up at the very last second, meaning you have to tie to it. And there's also windmills, which also you have to get the timing for, so it rapidly becomes clear that trying to maintain a really, really fast speed and being able to get through to the sun is going to be quite a challenge. And that's kind of the game it is. It's a bit of an infinite runner game, in, as it says, but it's for the PC, Windows, Mac, and Linux. And the game is just a lot of fun because there's a lot you can choose to go, like veering off to the left and see the landscape there, or veering off to the right. There's a lot of challenges you have to complete, and of course, you even get some bonuses like being able to jump or briefly teleport to another realm and do some avoiding there. And there are all these little cubes you can collect, and that boosts your score and everything. And the idea is just to go for as long and as fast and score as many points as possible before you inevitably either run out of power or smash into the solid block and have a spectacular explosion where you are completely decimated into many, many small pieces. That, my friends, is Race for the Sun. Very fun, very enjoyable. Okay, I'm going to move on to a game that's quite a bit more well known at this stage. It is the Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater, and as I mentioned previous games in the series before, so before I say anything else, I'm going to play the title track. And some of you, even if you're not familiar with the series, may notice a sort of a theme that's going on here, like they're trying to aim towards something. But I think you'll have a listen, and I'll talk a little bit more in the process.
And silence through the night. What a thrill. I'm searching and I'll melt into you. What a fear in my heart. But you're so supreme.
Time, there'll be no one else. Cry.
Well, that was quite a track. And in case you didn't notice, there does seem to be a subtle James Bond flavor to that song, and there's a damn good reason for that. I mentioned the Metal Gear Solid series on this show before, and trying to get through it, there were like two Metal Gear games released in the late 80s, early 90s, and then the series really hit the headlines with Metal Gear Solid in the mid-90s, followed by a couple of sequels. I played the theme music from both Metal Gear Solid and Metal Gear Solid 2 before, and if I mentioned it before, both of them had kind of similar plot lines, with terrorists grabbing control of a given installation. Usually it was taking place several years from in the future from when the game was actually published, and they all basically involved you going after this what was called a Metal Gear, or basically a gigantic walking bipedal tank that could fire nuclear missiles pretty much anywhere. Of course, the Metal Gear would be what you ended up fighting in the end, and helps get the name of the series Metal Gear Solid. Now, for Metal Gear Solid 3, there was a bit of a sea change. I mean, part of the reason is that Metal Gear Solid had a complex but, you know, pretty good plot, and Metal Gear Solid 2 had a complex and utterly convoluted plot. Things were getting very confusing, and the lore, as is the term for the backstory of a game, got very, very confusing. It involved a lot of stuff like an arm taking possession of people, and have I ever mentioned that the Metal Gear Solid series is actually kind of weird? I mean, like, it starts out like something from a generic American action movie, and then they throw in stuff like having vampires in it, or basically suddenly having like, oh wait a second, I'm not real, I'm actually a virtual projection or something. So it's almost like later American movies that throw in weird stuff. Yeah, it got kind of weird like that. And Metal Gear Solid 3 is still weird, but it's actually a lot more clear to get a grasp on, because you understand exactly where the weirdness lies. You know, you're not just suddenly being lied to the whole time, or are you? Because part of the whole thing is that the game is set in the 1960s, just about the time when Khrushchev is losing power in the Soviet Union, and essentially you, as part of an American unit, have seen fit to make an incursion on under Soviet soil, at first in order to get back an American scientist who was brought over the border, and then was ended up pulled back and everything, and it's just after the Cuban. So as you can plainly see, there's a gigantic Cold War theme to it. There's kind of like two little missions, and I don't want to spoil it, because if I tell you what the second one is, it'll spoil it. But basically, you are on a mission in Soviet soil. You've basically got to retrieve a scientist, and you've also got to stop a super weapon that's kind of being in the final stages of being built. It's not a Metal Gear Solid. It's not a Metal Gear this time, though the references are made to it, because Metal Gears weren't built until much later on in the series. But yes, it is some serious, gigantic Soviet weapon that could screw things up very, very badly. So you're on a one-man mission, sneaking into Soviet soil to try to find this weapon, try to just destroy it. Meanwhile, retrieve the scientist who was actually rescued by the Americans, but then pulled back over. And now you're trying to make up for the fact that you basically negotiated his life in order to help end the Cuban Missile Crisis. Yep, there's a nice little backstory thing going on there. And there's also, just very, very appropriate for the whole spy theme, is that you also have to make alliances with a couple of people, and you're not quite sure whose side they're really, really on. You have to trust people, even if you're not sure you should trust them, and you have to try to get through and achieve your objectives, even if you're not sure if they've got a hidden angle. And how does it all resolve? Well, that would be spoiling it, my friend, wouldn't it not? As you can see, they've really tried to tap into the theme of the period. As I said, they even make references to James Bond, which is kind of funny, because when you call up one of your friends on the radio, he says how awesome that the James Bond series is, which is kind of weird, because I think at that stage only like two movies, Bond movies, had been released, and they hadn't even like introduced a lot of the more popular aspects. But the idea is that they're really trying to get a good feel for that time period, and of course that means that there've been a lot of great music composed and played on it. One of the funny things about the game is that you can grab enemies and then start to interrogate them by putting a knife to their throat and just saying, talk and talk. Now, this is kind of brutal, and indeed I believe they make a reference to Jack Bauer if you do this enough times. But essentially, when you do this enough, sometimes, instead of giving you like vital information like how to call off an enemy alert or where secret items are hidden, they'll give you a frequency. And then when you use your radio to tune into this frequency, you will get a nice song. It's Healing Radio, and there's a lot of good songs that you can get through it. So I'm going to play one of those. It's a song that not only plays on the radio, but also towards the end of the game, and I don't want to spoil too much about what happens then, but it's a very nice song, and it's called Don't Be Afraid. So, have a listen. Mm-hmm.
I feel
Well, that was Don't Be Afraid by Rika Muranaka. And as I've said, Rika Muranaka has actually made some of the other, made plenty of memorable Metal Gear Solid tunes. And I've played two of them, such as Don't Be Afraid of Yesterday and a few others. So just check, if you want to ever check previous episodes, by the way, just check out bitnotefm.com. I've basically got uploading of pretty much all the episodes I have up to date. It has been finally updated, so you can get all the episodes and you can see all the great, listen to all the great songs that Rika Muranaka previous did before. And as I've said, one of them is actually Irish, so that's pretty cool. That song, actually, which I just said, Don't Be Afraid, was also performed by Elisa Fiorello. And I actually got to mention earlier, the previous Snake Eater song was composed by Norihiko Hibono and performed by Cynthia Harrell. So they really put a lot of effort into the music for this game. As I said, Metal Gear Solid 3 is a bit of a sea change, because it takes place not just, you know, long before the others take place, back in the 60s during the Cold War, but also the environment. You're dealing a lot with forest environment, you're crawling through, you're getting survival skills, and you're generally killing wildlife in order to make yourself food, which is kind of pretty cool. One of the good things about the Metal Gear Solid series is that even though there's a lot of plot and story and development and scripted sequences, the game really lets you play the game the way you want to. You can, like, point a gun at an enemy and shake them down and tell them to, or else you can just knock them on, or else you can grab them from behind, choke them until they lose consciousness and drop them, or you can just do, where you can throw them into the water, in which case they won't be able to swim or anything. In fact, they can't swim at all. Or it's just, there's a variety of, or you could, like, capture a small scorpion and throw the scorpion at them and then they poison them or something. Or else you can decide to stealth the entire mission. There's something called European difficulty in this game, which is the idea is that the moment you're seen by an enemy, you lose. So that's damn very, very harsh there. The game, as I said, is just really, really good. It's got a great thing. There's a lot of nice little emergent gameplays and stuff you can do as you stealth around the place. Many ways of playing the game. And it's got a good story that's fun and straightforward. Now, on the previous two shows, I played the theme of Metal Gear Solid. I'm going to finish off by playing the theme of Metal Gear Solid as it's been rearranged for this game, and I feel it's pretty damn good. Just like with Metal Gear Solid 2, it was originally composed by Tappy Owase, or aka Tappy, and it was arranged by Harry Gregson-Williams, who's done a lot of great composition work. So, I leave you now with the Metal Gear Solid main theme as it appears in Metal Gear Solid 3. Thank you all very much for listening to the show, and all the best. I hope you enjoy.
Thank you.